The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Coming to you from the Carter Subaru Studio. Welcome. We are also streaming on Facebook Live, and I am thrilled that you are with us for The Big Show. And we got a lot of stuff to talk about. This is just an incredibly troubling day, both in our state and in our nation, in so many ways. The underlying news is troubling. The news coverage of it is deeply disturbing to me. Let's get right into The Big Lead.
The Big Lead. Top story.
So a couple of weeks ago, the governor of Virginia described what they were planning to do with the bill there. And that was, if there's a botched abortion and a baby is born alive, that they would then have the mother talk with the doctor about whether they should let that living infant laying on the table die.
If a mother is in labor, I can tell you exactly what would happen. The infant would be delivered. The infant would be kept comfortable. The infant would be resuscitated if that's what the mother and the family desired. And then a discussion would ensue between the physicians and the mother. So I think this was really blown out of proportion.
Well, no, it wasn't. A discussion would be held between the doctor and the mother, deciding if they were going to let that living child die. And it is the purest definition of infanticide. And the United States is joining North Korea in promoting infanticide. And make no mistake, there are several state legislatures, New York, Virginia, you just heard the governor of Virginia describing it. Rhode Island would be one of the most dramatic. But this has nothing to do with abortion now. This is about babies born alive after a botched abortion. We're talking about a living human being outside of the mom. And so Patty Murray, senator from Washington, she prevented a unanimous decree that we're not going to allow infanticide in the United States. Patty Murray said, no, there are already laws protecting us from that. And there are not, because these state legislatures have moved to the most radical leftist agenda of infanticide. And so Ben Sasse, the senator from Nebraska, he introduced the bill on the Senate floor last night, and he got a vote from everybody who was present. But first he explained, this has nothing to do with the health of the mother. This has nothing to do with abortion. This is a baby that has been born and is laying on the table after a botched abortion, but a living child. And here's how he described it before the Senate vote.
America is a country built on a different principle. Ours is a country dedicated to the proposition that all men and women, all boys and girls, are created equal, even the littlest, even if they happen to come into the world in the most horrible of circumstances, even if they're crippled or inconvenient or apparently for a moment unwanted. Ours is a country that recognizes the fundamental, indistinguishable dignity of every human being, regardless of race or sex or creed or ability. As a country, we've struggled for two centuries, sometimes at enormous cost, to extend these basic human rights to more and more of our fellow citizens. Today's vote is simply an opportunity to continue that work. So let me say, Madam President, by way of closing, despite oppositions and setbacks, despite some strange rhetoric about this bill over the course of the last week, I'm hopeful in the long term. Deep down, each of us knows that every member of our human family ought to be protected and deserves to be cherished and loved. And the love we see every day in the eyes of moms and dads for their newborn babies is an inescapable reminder of that most fundamental truth. Love is stronger than power. Thank you, Madam President.
And so, are we going to kill babies in America? Well, it went to a Senate vote. Every Republican voted in favor of the Born Alive Protection Act. Every no vote came from Democrats. Three Democrats voted with the Republicans and said, of course we cannot let babies die. Again, nothing to do with abortion, nothing to do with the health of the mother, as Elizabeth Warren so blatantly lied in a tweet. It had to do with, are we going to let babies who are living outside of the womb, are we going to let them die in America? Every no vote came from a Democrat, including the two in our state, Patty Murray and Maria Cantwell. And so while state legislatures get more and more radical, you know, this goes way beyond late-term abortion, where they've already said, mom's in labor, you can kill the baby. But this is, no. The baby is outside of the mom, born alive. You can kill the baby. I honestly did not ever foresee that this would be our country, that we were going to let babies die. And there is another aspect to this story that infuriates me. And that's the fact that other than this radio show, you likely have not heard this story if you are a consumer of Seattle area media. Channel 4 had an AP story on their website. I saw nothing on King Cairo Q13's websites covering this. We're talking about Patty Murray and Maria Cantwell, the two senators from our state, and how they voted on this. And how our media has once again decided it's not even a story worth covering. Now, they did cover, all of them, Seattle Times didn't cover this either. They all covered, Bob Ferguson is suing the Trump administration for trying to take money away from Planned Parenthood, from trying to take money away from an abortion mill, because they thought, Trump's trying to deny health care to women through Planned Parenthood. This will make Trump look bad. We will spotlight this story. And I'm talking this in the last 24 hours. But Patty Murray and Maria Cantwell voted last night that if a baby is born alive after a botched abortion, that the mother and doctor, if this is the will of the state legislatures, more and more have moved in this direction. And it's not an exaggeration. You just heard the words of the Virginia governor. We'll keep the child comfortable, and then the mom and doctor will decide if we're going to let the baby die. So it's not a hypothetical. It's something that's actually happening. But again, isn't this at the very least a news story? But it makes Patty Murray and Maria Cantwell look like baby killers, because that's the way they voted. And so we have local media that won't even cover the story because it might make their preferred politicians look accurately like really awful human beings. But a story about Donald Trump trying to block some tax money going to Planned Parenthood? It'll strip health care rights. Let's run with that. Big time story. TV stations all covered that because it might make Trump look bad. When it comes to newsworthiness, nothing is more important than life and death. And yet we have a media that has ignored the most basic story of life and death. A baby is born alive, and states are deciding to give the power to the mother and one doctor to kill that baby after it's born alive. Not even a news story, not a blip. What would it take to get them to cover it? If the mom was straddling the border between the U.S. and Mexico when she was having the baby, then would they cover it? If the baby's born on the U.S. side, we'll let it die. I mean, is that what it takes? I've heard the left wailing, literally wailing, about separating families at the border. But not even one paragraph of coverage about Patty Murray and Maria Cantwell voting to let babies die if they survive a botched abortion? Maybe they really don't care about children at the border. Maybe it was just politics. I know that it's a sickness that I never dreamed I would see in this country. Both the underlying story that we are now letting babies die, born alive, we're letting babies die in America, and the media once again showing in blatant, graphic detail how unbelievably biased it is that on Monday we had an abortion story that might make Trump look bad. We'll run with it. Front page. Monday night, we have a story that might make Maria Cantwell and Patty Murray look like they voted for and with the baby killers. We'll bury it. It's not a story. Spike it. That's the role of the local media, apparently. And that's my role, to provide the only source of news of immense importance, because I'm not going to spike stories because I like a politician or don't like a politician. I'm not going to run with something because I don't like a politician. I will present you the news, certainly through the prism of my opinion, because that's essentially what this show is, but I will give you more news than the so-called journalists, because they decide what is news based on which politicians need protection and which ones they want to attack. Next up in the big lead.
The big lead. Bizarro world.
And then you have the story that Ursula had in her newscast that prolific offenders in Seattle, the numbers are absolutely shocking. 100 criminals have committed 3,500 crimes here in Seattle. And Channel 7, Cairo 7 News, they talked to a street vagrant named Travis Burge, who was bragging about his open drug use on the streets of Seattle.
There's nothing in my life that makes me functional, quite like meth.
I use dirty needles. I shoot up AIDS.
Dirty needles, AIDS. He's very proud of it. He'll shoot up in front of cops. In fact, he will seek out cops to shoot up in front of them.
I go around and look for cops, and once I find cops, then I'll shoot up. And I'll be like, best friends.
And I've told you this for a couple of years now, that people are shooting up heroin, using other hard drugs right in front of police officers, and the cops are doing nothing about it. And why? Well, because the prosecutor has said, we're not going to prosecute people with personal possession amounts, so it's an absolute waste of the cops' time. And so that's what we have. People like this, who's proud of his drug use, who's proud of shooting up in front of the cops. And on the flip side, you have people like this business owner. The business is called Gelatiamo, and Maria Coison. She said every single day, these drug vagrants are trashing her business.
Day in and day out, and these people are trashing my place, are disturbing my customer, are insulting my employees. They're hiding and shooting heroin in the restroom. It is just this, frankly, I've had it up to my ear with that.
And she says, yes, it is a small number who commit hundreds of crimes each.
The same people over and over and over again.
So, Jenny Durkin, where are you on this?
You can't just arrest your way out of it, but you can make sure that the people who are the most prolific offenders get arrested and get charged and stay in jail. And those people that perhaps need more support services and haven't yet committed crimes, but we need to make sure that we get the support services.
That's just absolute nonsense. You have more than enough money. You spend $100,000 per homeless person per year. This is not about a lack of resources. It is about a lack of political will. John Scholes with the Downtown Seattle Association talked to Seattle's Morning News.
I don't think anybody can look at this report, look at what's happening in our neighborhoods across the city, and say the system today is working. It is not. Yeah. It's in utter failure.
And so what are the numbers?
We looked at 100 people who had spent at least four times in King County Jail in 2018. And what we found is those 100 people are responsible for nearly 3,600 crimes in our city.
And here's one guy who was arrested 13 times in 2018 alone.
And the rap sheet is long. In January, arrested for theft at a Fred Meyer. February, creating a disturbance, refusing to pay. In March, unlawful possession of an unlawful weapon. The list goes on and on, from harassment and assault of an elderly couple, back at the same store, committing shoplifting.
Jenny Durkin is proving to be, like her predecessors, an absolute failure. They all know what the answer is. We have to get away from the legalization of drugs. We're going to talk to Dan Satterberg tomorrow on the big show because I don't think this is working. I don't know anybody who thinks that it's working to make this the drug magnet of the United States. But we have just a shocking amount of people who are throwing their lives away in front of us, destroying the lives of hardworking business owners, and the beat goes on. That is your big lead.
The big lead on Cairo Radio.
And then they're back. Remember those death lots? Oh, the city of Seattle calls them safe lots. But when they tried it with RVs, it became a haven of crime and drug use. And now they want to do it again, but they want to dump it all into one neighborhood. Talk to a reporter about that next as the Dory Monson Show gets rolling here. Remember a couple of years ago when the city of Seattle tried safe RV lots? It ended up costing the taxpayers an absolute fortune. It was not sustainable. Crime went up in the neighborhood. Crime has skyrocketed where they've put some of those tiny houses around the city. And now people are concerned because the safe lots idea is back. And reporter Matt Markovich over at Channel 4, ComoNews.com, he's the guy who has this story, and he joins us here on the Dory Monson Show. Hey, Matt, good to talk to you this afternoon.
Nice to talk to you, Dory.
So tell me about this plan that you got this through public document disclosure requests, right?
Yes. Well, the city council had talked about it last year and set aside $250,000 for a pilot safe lot program. And you talked about the RVs. This was, at that time, specific for overnight car camping, like cars, vans, trucks, campers, but not RVs, not a vehicle that has a toilet in it. So they've been kicking this idea around, and they were supposed to come up with some ideas where to put these lots by the end of this first quarter. But we hadn't heard anything, and in my inquiries to the Department of Neighborhoods, which was citing the location, nothing happened. So we filed public disclosure requests and got emails between the Department of Neighborhoods and the Seattle Police Department where they were trying to figure out where is a place to go. And oddly enough, those locations they're talking about were redacted. I don't know about you, Dory, but, you know, redactions is very sensitive information. Usually it happens when there's health information like HIPAA information or a sensitive police investigation. They don't want to tip their hand to their case. But this is just safe lots where people can park overnight, but the city felt it necessary to redact the information. So we went through some of the fire logs because they had requested aid calls within a quarter mile of some of these locations, and we're able to triangulate that there's basically three areas they were looking at. The Amy Yee Tennis Center in the Upper Rainier Valley, in the vicinity of that, Mount Baker Park toward the east there along Lake Washington, Genesee Park further south, and even further south than that, Pritchard Beach Park. And then when we asked the city to confirm that, they didn't, but they didn't deny it either.
Well, and some of these are, first of all, it's interesting because geographically, these would all be considered South Seattle, right?
Yeah, they're all in the, basically in one area, Rainier Valley, the general vicinity.
Yeah, and so I would understand if the residents of the Rainier Valley got upset that the five locations that that you've triangulated to, cite as the most likely, I would understand the Rainier Valley residents being upset, saying, why are you putting all the safe lots down in our neighborhood? Why not put them up in Laurelhurst or Wallingford or Wedgwood? You know, some of the neighborhoods where city council members reside, for example.
Yeah, I think it's that I-90 informal line that people talk about, that everything that happens involving the homeless happens south of I-90, and this is a perfect example of that. And again, the neighbors were not consulted in this. And Dory, as you know, there's been a track record with the city when it comes to tiny house villages. They announced where they're going to put them without any neighborhood input until after the announcement. Then they hold these community meetings and say, here's what's going to happen. But prior to the sighting, they didn't tell people where those tiny house villages are going to be. And
right.
Some of the neighbors feel this is going to happen with the safe lots.
One of the other reasons this jumped out at me, your story, Matt, is when you specifically cited the Amy Yee Tennis Center, because I have a wife and daughters who have played USTA. I know that they've had some matches late at night at Amy Yee, and I would sure be nervous if they had to get to and from a tennis match, and I know that there are a lot of other people who use that facility that goes late into the evening. I'd be awfully nervous if they had to navigate what the city calls a safe lot, and they end up just being drug lots usually. But that site in particular really perked up my ears, Matt.
Yeah, and again, that's just the general vicinity of what they were looking when they're asking the police department to, when they're looking at possible sites. I do want to tell you, since our story ran, Dory, we have at least from two sources within the Parks Department that they are seriously considered Genesee Park. That seems to be their number one park on their list. They're going to probably move forward with that and maybe make an announcement about that sometime soon. But again, they're not publicly saying all that right now.
And tell me a little bit about the makeup of Genesee Park. I'm pretty sure I've played ball there, but what does that look like?
Well, Genesee is a really large park. That's where, if you go to Seafair, that's the big lot, the park that you walk to go to the pits. And across the street from Genesee, from that big grassy area, the meadows they call it, is a large parking lot right next to a playground that has a bathroom there. There's a play field there. Now, whether they're going to site it in that particular parking lot or what we believe may be a maintenance yard lot on the other side of the road, we're unsure, but they're targeting Genesee. And again, it's right near a facility that has kids. And again, this is supposed to be just an overnight campground, overnight parking area. But in other cities that have done this, like in Santa Barbara and San Diego, it ends up being just a camping lot. They come there during the day and night, as they have in Santa Barbara.
And there's no mandate from the city, or have you found out if they put in these safe lots, if they're going to have to be dry, or are they going to look a blind eye if people are using drugs or alcohol there?
Well, when we contacted the Department of Human Services Department here in the city, a spokesperson wouldn't go on the record, but saying it's still a work in progress. They're still formulating how these lots would run. If they model them after the other lots that they openly said that they're looking at, which is the ones in San Diego and Santa Barbara, there are no restrictions. You can do whatever you want in the cars. Many of the facilities have a bathroom nearby that's public. That's key. But as you know, Dory, what you do in your car, it stays in the car unless someone else sees it. But again, the cops, part of this is that the cops would patrol the area, and the people living there would not have the fear of being towed or harassed by the police.
Yeah, well, the history with the RV lots is that crime and drug use was rampant there, so I have little faith that these truck lots or camper lots would be any different. Well, good job, figuring this out. I think if I was in the Rainier Valley, I'd be furious that all the sites that it appears that they're looking at are in their neighborhood, and that's just the beat goes on here with Seattle government, Matt.
Yeah, and we're going to try and uncover more of what they're planning to do and not tell you about.
Okay. It is your job. All right. I appreciate it. Matt Markovich, reporter over at Channel 4. You can see his whole story. They have it posted at comonews.com. Matt, thanks for coming on with me this afternoon.
Anytime, Dory.
And I would love to hear what you think about all of this, especially if you do live down in the Rainier Valley, which once again sounds like it's going to be just a dumping ground for Seattle city officials. I thought that our liberal government was not supposed to treat certain neighborhoods that poorly. And why don't we see these lots in the city council members' neighborhoods? I think we all know the answer to that. You can text me. The Online Trading Academy text line is 98973. That's 98973. And we have lots more straight ahead here on the Dory Monson Show. You know, I mentioned at the top of the show, I really am having trouble understanding an awful lot of what's driving the far left in social policies these days. But they call her the most important Democrat in social media, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, and she's getting drunk with power. You know, first of all, she's tossed out the Green New Deal. They've now estimated the cost of the Green New Deal. You know, they want to replace or remodel every building in America. Got a barn in Nebraska? Replace it. Got a pump house in Montana? Replace it. Provide a living wage for people unwilling to work. That was in the initial draft because it was such a childlike effort to roll all of this out. So the one I played for you yesterday, we're sounding like China now because she tossed out that because of the climate that maybe we should stop having babies at all.
Our planet is going to be a disaster if we don't turn the ship around. And so it's basically like there's scientific consensus that the lives of children are going to be very difficult. And it does lead, I think, young people to have a legitimate question. You know, is it okay to still have children?
Okay, so maybe we should stop having children in America. The Green New Deal, they now have put a price tag on it, about $93 trillion, which is more than the GDP of planet Earth. It would cost I'm not making this up. If they did everything they're talking about, the Medicare for all, phasing out airplanes, phasing out farting cows, living wage to people unwilling to work, it would cost the average American family $65,000 per year to achieve everything in the Green New Deal. Now, remember, this is something that Jay Inslee has signed on to, Cory Booker, Kamala Harris, AOC, 65,000. I mean, it's just, it's like the fantasy land of four-year-olds. $65,000 per family per year in taxation.
Oh, it's unrealistic. Oh, it's vague. Oh, it doesn't address this little minute thing. And I'm like, you try. You do it. Because you're not. Because you're not. So until you do it, I'm the boss.
That's
how about that?
She's the boss? 29-year-old bartender is the boss now? We're not going to be able to have kids anymore? We're not going to be able to eat steaks? We're not going to be able to fly in airplanes? And the taxation is going to be just $65,000 per family per year? I don't like the new boss. I got a problem with that. And then there's this. I enjoyed this. Charles Barkley was on TNT halftime talking about Jussie Smollett, the hate crime hoax actor from Empire. Charles Barkley had some advice.
There's one over there that's still living that you would say has no chance of happening.
The question was, you know, what team has no chance of making the playoffs in the NBA? And here was Barkley's response of what has no chance of happening.
Two black guys beating a black guy up.
And have a black guy.
Sorry, speak it out loud. That's not on here, man. The Clippers will not make the playoffs. And...
What kind of hats they had on, Chuck?
MAGA hats.
All right, I think that's probably it.
Okay.
The Lakers will not make the playoffs. The Kings will is the latest edition. Go ahead, Kenny. I can't believe you, Chuck.
You're paying with cash?
Chuckster.
You're paying with
Chuckster.
Cash or you write him a check, Chuck? Man.
Never break America.
Chuckster. How?
America. Let me just tell you something.
What's that?
Do not commit crimes with checks. Come on, man. You cannot. If you're going to break the law, do not write a check.
Because you're writing a check that what? You're behind cash.
Yo, man, you cannot.
Cash up.
Hey, get cash, man. I never used an ATM. Now, I heard you can only get $200 out of
Charles.
$500.
Charles, stop, literally.
You're about to make a lot of stop to the ATM.
So there's Charles Barkley's commentary on the hate crime hoaxer, Jussie Smollett. Charles Barkley is a very funny man. Oh, we got a lot of news to get to. And get to it we shall in the Fastest 15 coming up next.